God bless you. Amen. Well, amen. I've been teaching for the last several weeks on the subject of the invisible war. And this morning I've titled this message, God's Secret Weapon. You know, because the reason why I called it God's Secret Weapon is really not a secret to God, but it's often a secret to you and I. I'm convinced that we none fully understand the real power that's in your praise. Look at somebody and tell them there's power in your praise. Oh, come on, they didn't hear you. Tell somebody else and say there is power in your praise. See, the devil don't want you to know that. He begins to tremble when people begin to understand that if you'll begin to praise him, how many of you know? The devil hates when you and I praise God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, let the high praise of God be in our mouth and the people. Listen, to put in our hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people. Listen, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute the written judgment. Listen, this honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. I want you to know how many saints of God I have in the house. Come on. Well, I want you to know God has given you and I an honor and a privilege. You know, that means you and I have an honor and a privilege to give God praise. And when the praises go up, it's not only the blessings come down, but I want you to know when you'll learn to praise God, God will fight on your behalf. How many of you have been going through a difficult time, a challenge, a struggle? You've been going through it. Just raise your hand. Anybody been going through it? Just hold your hand up real. Let me just tell you. Now, I want you, this message is for you this morning. Because if you will learn how to give God a praise, even when you don't feel like it, praise calls forth God's supernatural intervention. Praise binds demonic power. Many of you recall the story when Saul rebelled against God. The Bible said an evil spirit came and began to torment Saul. And so because he was tormented, he couldn't even rest. But the Bible says that they called a young man by the name of David. And it says in 1 Samuel 16, it says when David would begin to play the harp, the evil spirit would depart from him and Saul would have rest and peace. I want you to know that a lot of times people are tormented, but if they'll learn how to bring the praise of God, how many know the devil can't stay where praises are? Oh, that was just your opportunity right there. Come on. I'm going to say it again. I say the devil can't stay where the praise of God are. If you'll learn how to praise him, because why? The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And if you and I will learn how to get God in the mix, I want you to know the devil can't stay where God is. Can I have an amen? And so all through the scriptures, we read how when there were examples when the children of Israel often was facing unbelievable odds, how many know God often told them, if you'll just praise me, the battle will be won. The name Judah means praise. And once in the book of Judges, when they prayed, Lord, who to send first? They send Judah first. We used to sing a song, send Judah first and the battle shall be won. Sing Judah first and the foe is overcome. Giving praises to the Father and to the... Judah first. How many of you know that song? Not too many. A few of us. I'm telling on myself. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at an example in the New Testament of three reasons why you and I need to praise God in every battle. In Acts chapter 16, it tells a story of the Apostle Paul. God had supernaturally given him a vision. He saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. And God told him and directed him to the city of Philippi. It was one of the cities in the region of Macedonia. And while he was there preaching, there was a woman under an evil spirit who was telling fortunes. You know, she was a fortune teller. You know, just like that one down the street. That's letting you know you don't go there. I want you to understand that, you know, the devil has powers. And if you will listen to the devil, I want you to know he might tell you your future, but he'll also enslave you and bind you up. And so you don't need to go to the devil's people. You don't need to call the psychic hotline. You don't need to read the horoscope. I want you to know, God, you got to just call on the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? And anyway, that this woman was under an evil spirit. She was a slave girl, and she was telling people, listen, this is Paul. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they are telling you how to be saved. But how many know God don't need the devil to give him advertisement or to tell him who he is? And Paul was annoyed and irritated by this evil spirit. And he looked at the evil spirit and he recognized an evil spirit in this young girl who was telling fortunes and telling people their future. And he commanded the evil spirit to come out of her. And the Bible said, and the evil spirit came out of her. And when the owner of this young girl realized that his means of making money was gone, he had Paul arrested wrongly. Accused him falsely, wrongly arrested. They beat him with rods, and they threw him in prison. Now, imagine Paul. God told you praying about, God, where you want me to go to win and people to the Lord, and you praying, God send you to Philippi. And in obedience to God, he ends up in prison. This is just a reminder, but you obey God, think that obeying God, everything's going to go well. Sometimes when you obey God, you're going to receive persecution. Sometimes when you obey God, opposition is going to come in your life. Sometimes when you obey God, every devil in hell is going to be stirred up. But I want you to know, listen to me, if you'll stay and you'll be obedient to God, how many know that's not the end of the story? Can I have an amen? And I've learned that, listen, it is always well to obey God. It's always good. If you and I will learn to obey God, I want you to know that, listen, it might persecution, opposition might come in our lives. But I want you to know in the end, God's going to win. Can I have an amen? And so I'm picking up, I'm reading at Acts chapter 16, verses 25. And I'm going to read down to verse 31. Very familiar scripture to many of you. And the Bible says at midnight, say at midnight. Midnight always represents a dark time. You know, even in the natural, midnight is often represents the darkest hour. Time of darkness, time of heaviness, and in all of our lives, we will face a midnight hour. I like that song they just sung, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. How many need God to turn something around in your life? I ask a lot of, you know, sometimes you facing odds, sometimes you facing things, and it doesn't look like there's no way out. But how many know, but that's not the rest of the story, because it might not come when you want it, but how many know God is always on time. But about midnight, let's read together. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's why I say, don't let the devil steal your praise. Look at somebody and say, don't let the devil take your praise. If anybody had a reason to get discouraged and complain about why everything was going wrong, Saul had a reason to complain. And I want you to know, that's why the devil wants to rob you of your praise. He wants to steal you of your praise. But the Bible says, but at the late at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and listen and singing hymns to God. And listen, the next part says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That is so important, because I want you to know that when you're going through it, people are watching your life. Look at somebody and say, somebody's watching you. That's why how you handle difficulty, how you handle opposition, how you handle, listen, when you go through it, people are watching your life. People are listening. They you might not think they're listening, but people are watching your life. They're watching how you handle difficulty. They're watching how you handle, learn to praise God in spite of it. A few months ago, 376 people in this community lost their jobs at Bayou Steel. I mean, there was believers in the midst of them. I want you to know that people was watching their lives. People, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to cuss like the rest? Are you going to begin to complain like the rest? Are you going to lift up your hand and say, the Lord is my provider? Come on. He is the good shepherd. He's going to provide for me. See, it's a choice, but I'm getting ahead of myself. And so it goes on to say, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26. I like this. I like the suddenlies in the Bible. How many need a suddenly in your life? How many need God to suddenly turn something around? Listen to this. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prisoners' doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He thought the prisoners escaped. You understand? And under Roman rule, if you was a prison guard and the prisoners escaped, it means you would lose your life for his life. So he realized that, man, listen, all the doors open. He thought the prisoners had left. He knew they was going to kill him. So he said, I'm just going to take my life. But look what happened. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he replied, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. You and your household. Aren't you glad that God's not just concerned about you, he's concerned about your household as well? I like that promise because how many know he's the God of the whole house? Can I have an amen? And so I want to talk to you three reasons why you and I should praise God in our battles. Because I want you to know that it's easy in the world we live in to complain. It's easy to murmur. It's a choice. Say it's a choice. The first reason why you and I need to praise God in our battles is because praise exalts God above our problems. In other words, when you learn to praise God, how many of you begin to remind yourself that God is bigger than any problem you and I can face to lift you up in spite of my circumstances? I wrote this down. It's a choice. Notice at midnight. Midnight represents the dark times in our lives. It represents the dark moments when we're tempted to despair, to become depressed, to become discouraged. I want you to know that when everything's going wrong, you don't feel like praising God. Some of you came in here this morning, you didn't feel like praising God. That's why you can't listen to your feelings. You got to tell your body, like David said, listen, soul, you're going to bless the Lord. Let me just tell you, sometimes I don't feel like praising him, but I mean, you know, he's still worthy. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is still worthy of praise. Can I get somebody ought to give him a praise right there? Listen to me. David said this. Anybody ever read Psalms 34? Listen what David said in Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I believe somebody ought to lift him up right there. Let me just tell you, you got to understand when David wrote this in the caption. If you look at your Bible on the caption of Psalms 34, it has a footnote. It says David wrote this when he acted as though he was mad. Because Saul was after his life, he escaped and he was running from his life. You're talking about a low point. Here was somebody you was devoted to, you protected, you gave yourself, and now they accuse you wrongly, and they were after his life. Not only were they after his life, when he escaped to the Philistines, the enemies of God, they begin to say, well, isn't this David, the one they said Saul has killed his thousand, and David has killed his 10,000. All of a sudden, David recognized that they knew who he was. And David's life was on, his life was being threatened. And listen what he said at that point. At the lowest point of his life, he makes this confession: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. David was at one of the lowest points in his life. It was his midnight hour. Yet David recognized, God, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I have to believe that God, you're still God, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe that late in the midnight hour, you're going to turn it around. Let me just tell you, praise exalts God over our problems. It's the opposite of murmuring and complaining. See, it's a choice. Say it's a choice. See, you got a choice. Every time when everything not going your way, you got a choice. You can either complain. You can either talk how bad it is. You can talk about how man, things are unfair. Or you can begin to make a decision. Say, God, I'm going to bless you anyway. Because, God, you're still in control. God, you're still God over every situation. God, you're still God. I don't care what it look like. God, you're God all by yourself. And, God, I've learned that if I'll learn to praise you, you have a way of turning it around. Can somebody help me praise him just for a minute? Praise is exalting God. I want you to understand that it's reminding us who God is. If you and I will learn to bless him at all times. Let me just tell you, the word praise means to magnify. It means to glorify. It means to express admiration. It means to tell God how awesome he is. It means to tell him how mighty he is. You know, listen, when your back is against the wall and you look like there's no way, you begin to remind God, you're a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Come on, God, you're a light in the darkness. Come on, I don't care what it looks like. Somebody ought to tell God, God, you're still a way maker. God, you're still a promise keeper. God, you're still a light in the darkness. You see, when you begin to tell God who he is, all of a sudden you begin to remind, oh, Lord, I don't care what it looked like, but God, you're still a God who can turn it around. God, you know, this is the thing I've learned. Anytime you preach this, you got to live it. I can remember March 23rd, 2016. Some say I got the date wrong, but I believe I got it right. March 23rd, 2016. I get a call, Pastor, guess what? A tornado knocked down damaged the church, knocked down the gym and everything. And I mean, it didn't. I caught a call from Tim. I rushed over to the church, and I mean, it didn't look good at all. It was raining in this building just like it was raining outside. The roof had been pulled back. Everything was wet. All the equipment was wet. And we had just come out through a time of prayer and fasting. We were believing God that this would be our year, that God was going to help us pay off the building. And all of a sudden we come, and I find out when the insurance comes, we got $2.5 million of damage. But I mean, it was just an opportunity to praise him. It was just an opportunity. I want you to know that, listen to, a pastor told me that, he said, we was just watching to see how you was going to respond. But you know what? I determined, God, I don't understand. I don't understand it. But listen, God, I choose to believe that you're going to work it for our good. Because according to Romans 8:28, all things, say all things. See, it doesn't say everything is good, but God says all things. That means God will take a tornado. God will take a hurricane. God will take a flood. God will take everything that the devil meant for bad. And God said, I will turn it around. Has God turned around anything in your life? Come on, then give God a praise right there. Because listen to, God can turn it around. Oh, you ought to give him some praise. Late in the midnight hour, I say he gonna turn it around. He can turn it around. That's why Paul was able to say, I'm gonna bless the Lord. That's why he looked over at Silas. Silas, I know you're in pain. I'm in pain too. Your ribs all right? Yeah, I got a few that's broke, but we're going to be all right. And they begin to start lifting their voices and they begin to bless God. I don't care what it look like. If you'll begin to lift your voice and say, I will bless the Lord. Tell somebody, I will bless the Lord. Go and say, I will bless the Lord. Say, devil, you're not going to steal my praise. He will throw everything he can at you to rob you of your praise. He will cause murmur. He will cause fighting. But you got to let the devil know you ain't going to steal my praise, because there's power in your praise. I want to say that. I say there's power in your praise. And if you'll begin to pray, God can turn it around. And just like he did in Paul and Silas' life, they begin to praise God. They begin to remind, again, praise is reminding God who he is. God knows who he is, but we got to remind him who he is. Sometimes we forget. When things look bleak, you got to remind yourself, God, you're still a healer. God, you're still a deliverer. God, you're still a miracle worker. God, you can still make a way where there's no way. God, just open up. Turn it around. And when praise begins to open up, I want you to know that's why you and I need to make sure we fill the house of the Lord with praise. Because there's people may be going through something. And I want you to know, if you'll learn to give God the praise, God can turn your thing around. Listen, it was a midnight hour. It didn't look bright. It didn't look good. But I want you to know, when praise goes up, I want you to know that God can turn it around. I like this. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. This is the message about, we know the King James, it says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. I want to read out of the Message Bible. Listen to what it said. Don't fret or worry. Look at somebody and say, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, listen to what it says, pray. Let petitions and praises, come on, say praises. Shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concern. God know it's a midnight hour. God know you're in the pit. God know your situation. But I want you to know, when you begin to give it to God, listen, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's hard to worry and praise at the same time. I believe that's an opportunity. Some of you have been going through it. You ought to give God a praise right now. Come on. You got to just hold my mule and let me give God some praise right now. Because when we praise him, he turns it around. Second thing I want you to know about prayer. Look, before I go on, this is a scripture that's so important. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Many of you know it says God has provided for those who grieve. Anybody grieving? Listen to what he said. For those who grieve, he bestowed on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, all of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, instead of a spirit of heaviness. Listen to me, why the garment? But you got to put, listen to me, God provides it. God provide the garment, but you got to put it on. This is the part many people miss. God ain't going to make you raise your hand. God ain't going to make you open your mouth. God ain't going to make you stand on your feet. God ain't going to make you dance. But I want you to know, but listen, God will give you a garment, but what you going to do with it? You got to put it on. I tell you, God said, I'll give you a garment for your heaviness, but you got to make a choice. God, I'm going to lift my hand. God, I'm going to stand and shout. God, I'm going to give you a praise. And I want you to know, when you and I give, when we put on the garment of praise, heaven has got to go. Come on, give God a praise right now all over this place. Look at somebody and say, you got to put it on. Praise does not deny your situation. It chooses to exalt God above your situation. It'll lift you out of the pit. It'll remind you there's no pit so deep that God cannot deliver you out of. And I'm telling you, in our lowest point, if you'll learn to just praise God, I've lived this long enough to learn that God is faithful. He always ends on a positive. Can I have an amen? And so I don't care. He is a God. Listen, you might be in the negative right now. You might look at your bank account. You might look at your health. You might look at your marriage, and it might not look good right now. But I want you to know God always ends on a positive. If you'll learn to give him praise, he can turn it around. Can I have an amen? Secondly, praise invites God's supernatural intervention. How many of you want to invite God in this place? Listen what happened. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Say, loose them, Lord. Listen, praise brings the sudden intervention. It'll open doors. See, sometimes when you're facing a closed door, I want you to know the greatest thing you can do is begin to praise God. I want you, because your praise will open every prison door. Sometime when you feel that you're bound up, praise will loose chains on your life. Praise has a way of breaking chains and opening the doors. Listen, the enemy, the devil, he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He wants to rob you. That's why, let me just say, you remember why he came in Job's life? He wants his faith in God. But Job made a commitment. God, I don't understand anything. I don't understand what I'm going through. In other words, he said, God, listen, I might not be able to trace your hand, but I know your heart. You're still good. And though you slay me, I'm going to yet praise you. Somebody ought to say, God, I'm going to praise you regardless. I don't have to understand it. I'm going to still praise you. And when you praise God, praise invite God's presence. We know this scripture, Psalms 22, verse 3, he inhabits the praises of his people. I want you to know, God, he lives in, he dwells, he enthrones himself in our praise. That's why praise is so important. That's why you need to, you know, some people wait till, well, they say, I know church start at 10, but they ought to be finished singing by 10:30, so I'll come up at 10:30. Well, you miss the key to your victory. You miss the secret weapon. You see, because the thing that you was going through, if you'll learn how to praise God in spite of it, God can turn it around. See, listen to, you ain't got to wait till the preaching. God will set you free before the preaching. God will save you before the preaching. God, let me just say, I've learned that, listen, if you'll learn to give God a sacrifice of praise, God has a way of turning it around. I was reading, you know, if you read in Acts chapter, I think it's around chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, the amazing thing that happened, Peter didn't even get a chance to preach. Peter began to tell him, you know, I'm a Jew, and it's not even right for me as a Jew to come into a Gentile home. But, you know, but God has already called, God showed him in a vision, don't call unclean what God has called clean. And Peter began to tell him a little bit about what God had done. And before he can start preaching, the Bible said the Holy Spirit fell on him and they all began to speak in tongues and praise God. And Peter looked at his brother and said, well, what else we need to do? We just need to go and baptize these brothers. Listen, God already did it. And I've learned, let me just tell you, so much if we will learn, you know how they say when we work, but when we pray, God work, is also true. We work when we work, but if we'll learn to praise, God will work. How many want to get God to work in? How many want to get God to intervene? Well, I want you to know one of the greatest ways we can get God's intervention is learning to give him a sacrifice of praise. Years ago, there was a book by the name, it was titled From Prison to Praise. It was by a guy named Merlin Carruthers. And he wrote a book that outlined testimonies of people who were delivered and healed simply because they began to praise God. Simply because they started to learn how to worship God. I've learned, let me just tell you, some of you battle with things in your mind, you battle with things in your emotions, but I want you to know the quickest way to defeat the enemy, the quickest way to get free in your mind is to learn how to give God a Holy Ghost praise. And so before we even move any further, I know that there's some of you, you came in here and you may be going through something right now. You may be in a low place. You may be facing a midnight hour. I asked how many of you were under attack. Many of you raised your hand. I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet right where you are. And I want you right all over this place. I want you to give God a sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is? Listen to me. Hold on, baby. A sacrifice, you don't have to feel it. A sacrifice means I'm doing it even though I don't feel like it. God, but because you're worthy. Listen to me. Sometimes you don't need a miracle. You just need to remember what he did before. You remember how he delivered you. You remember how he set you free. You remember how he turned it around. You remember how he made a way where there was no way. You remember, if he saved you from your sins, there's nothing that he can't do in your life. And God just sometimes wants you to be reminded and praised and saying, God, you did it once, you'll do it again. And so, God, I bless you because you are a way maker. God, I bless you because you are a healer. God, I bless you because you are a provider. God, I bless you because, Lord, you are that plus some. Now give God some praise all over this room. Come on, give him some praise. Oh, yes, come on, give God a praise. He's a savior. He's a deliverer. He's a mind regulator. He's a healer. Come on. Come on, come on, God. He's a provider. Come on, God. God, he's the one who forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. Come on, he delivers my life from destruction. Come on, give God. Come on, for 30 more seconds. Give him some praise in this place. All over this room. God, right now, come on. As you begin to praise him, I pray, God, let heaviness got to go. Despair got to go. Depression got to go. Come on, come on. Doubt got to go. Defeat got to go. Come on, God. In the name of Jesus. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we learn to praise you, that, God, you would turn every situation around. God, you're God. You're God alone. You're God all by yourself. And you say there's nothing too hard for you. And, God, you said if we'll pray, you said all that men would praise me. You say, from the rising of the sun to the going down, your name is to be praised. God, regardless of what we're going through, you still deserve the praise. You woke us up this morning. God, you gave us our right mind. God, you gave us clothes to wear. God, you enabled us to get here today. Because of all that, you deserve all the praise. God, but even if you've never done another thing, God, because you're God all by yourself, because the Lord, you're a merciful, loving Savior, you deserve the praise. And when we learn to praise him, we tap into that secret weapon. I want you to know, devils begin to tremble. Demons begin to scatter. He can't hold you bound. Come on, I want you to just do it. Just as an actor, sir, just slip those hands off all over this room. Come on, now give him some praise. Come on, God, say, I love you. God, I adore you. God, I honor you for who you are. I thank you that you're mighty. You're awesome. Come on, God. Come on, God. You are a way maker. I don't know. Come on, y'all. Come on. Help me with that. Say, way maker. Come on, come on. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on, come on.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Come on, lift your voice and say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. I'm gonna worship him like he's been your way maker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Come on, just one more time, lift your praise and say, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Come on, give him some praise, all of
them. That's who you are.
That's who he is. I said, that's who he is.
That is who you are. Just tell him that's who he is. That's who he is. That is who you are. Come on, tell him that's who you are. That's who you are. That is who you are. All that I need. All that I need, yeah.
That is who you are.
Now let's thank him because that's who he is. Come on, let's thank him. God, that's who you are. You are a way maker. You are a promise keeper. You are a light in our darkness, God. That is who you are, God. We thank you. You're a miracle worker. Come on, give him another praise. Come on, all over this place. Yeah.
That's why I praise you.
I want to share this one last point. Give me 2 more minutes. This one last thing, why it's important that we praise. I say, number one, we praise God because it exalts God above our problem. Secondly, when we praise him, it invites his intervention. God comes in. He inhabits our praise. He moves in our midst. But here's another reason. See, sometimes you're in a pit. You don't know why God let you in a pit. Sometimes it's not about you. Some people never believe until they see how you respond in your difficulty. And so sometimes God allows a situation. I say it this way. Praise will cause others to see their need for Jesus. Listen what happened. Praise will remove the blindfold off of people and cause them to see their need for God. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, let me just tell you, he said, Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. But listen what he said. He ran in. And the Bible says he cried out, what must I do to be saved? He saw something that convinced him of the reality of God. He saw something. See, listen to me. Anybody can shout when everything's going all right. But the real test, can you praise him when you're in your pit? Can you praise him when you're in your prison? And some people will never believe until they see how you respond when you're in your prison. And I want you to know, here was this jailer. See, sometimes God allowed this. This is what you got to understand. It wasn't about Paul and Silas. God wanted to save a Philippian jailer and his whole household. And sometimes God will allow you to go through something to get somebody else saved. It wasn't about him because God, it wasn't about getting Paul out. It was about getting the word of God in. And sometime God will allow us to go through. Remember, the Bible says that they were listening. These people are listening. It's a reminder that people are watching your life. They're watching how you and I respond when we suffer. They're watching how we respond in our difficult circumstances. And I want you to know that how you and I respond in trouble often play a major role in how others will respond to Jesus. Because if they say, if you can praise God when you've been beaten, if you can praise God when you got stripes on your back, if you can praise God when you've lost everything, God is still good. I need a God like that. Come on, I need to know a God. I want to know, because see, sometimes people don't see the reality of Jesus till they see him in you. Sometimes you're the only Jesus that some people will ever see. That's why the Bible said we rejoice in tribulation. We rejoice in affliction. That's why the Bible said count it all joy. See, some of you are going through it. And sometimes your coworker need to know that, listen, you're God all by yourself. Let me just tell you, hear me, that not you're God, but God is God all by himself. Hear me. She gave me permission to share a testimony. Me and you know her, 29-year-old son. died just a few months ago. No pain strikes deeper from a parent to lose a child. She had every reason to despair. But hear me. She has, in her own words, she was, my mother and I, we were standing right there, and she was telling her her testimony. She said, I got this young lady in my office. She's an atheist. But she watched Hameda continue to give God praise in her pain. And this atheist girl said, I don't understand all, but there has to be a God because I see what God is doing. She became convinced there has to be a God, because if you can bless God after losing your son at 29, then God is real. Then I know that God exists. I know that God is real. See, some people will never know God until they see how we respond in our difficulty. That's why God said, Paul said, Lord, deliver me. A thorn was given to him. God, deliver me from this thorn. He said, but God said, no, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes God allows you to go through weakness so others can see his strength. And so as I close this morning, if you're here today and you are going through a midnight hour, you're going through a difficult time, you're going through a loss, the world is watching. It's not just about you. Great test, great testimony. And sometimes God will use your darkest moment, your greatest pain, to bring others to Christ. And so if you're here today and you're going through a dark time, a time you're just going through right now, would you stand on your feet? I just want to pray for you right now. Just stand. If you're just going through right now, many of you raise your hand. You know, I'm maybe a time of discouragement, maybe a time of questioning, maybe a time, Lord, I don't understand it all. Sometimes you serve God and it don't always go like we think it should. But it's in those times that God wants to show his greatest power. It's in those times that God wants to show the world that he is God. And sometimes God will allow you to go through something so that the world can see Jesus in you. And so those of you that may be going through something right now, just slip your hand up right now. I want to pray for you. Father, you see every man, woman, every boy and girl, everyone who's they're going through a place right now, Lord God. You know their situation. But God, because you are God, you gave us a promise that God, that all things will work together for good. That God, out of our low place, out of our disappointments, out of our discouragement, out of the time when we go through, God, you're going to work it for our good and your glory. Lord, there's people watching my life. There's family members watching my life. Lord, there's neighbors watching my life. Lord, there's people who are looking at me to see, how am I going to respond? God, give me the grace. Come on, just say, Father, give me the grace to respond and praise you in the midst of my trial. Come on, say, God, give me the grace to praise you in my trial. Because when the praises go up, God, eventually, the blessings must come down. Now, regardless of what you're going through right now, just give God, you talk to him in your own way. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, God, we thank you. God, we bless you. God, we honor you. Come on, all pray. God, we thank you for being so good. God, right now, turn it around. Come on, God, work it out. Move in that man. Come on, God. Won't y'all stand here, people? Won't y'all stand here? Won't y'all stand? Come on,